The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Mothers and daughters have one of life's most special bonds. Along with the trying times can be some of the most wonderful times. Welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. Your hosts are Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker. In the next hour, we will share some great tools with our listeners designed to help mothers and daughters grow into the honesty and openness of whom you truly are. Now, here's Elizabeth, Melissa, and Danielle.
Good evening, and welcome to Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship. I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Lutz, and I'm joined by my two other co-hosts, Danielle and Melissa.
Hello, welcome back.
Yeah, we're so happy to be here. So excited for the show.
Yeah, so am I. So why we chose this topic, you might be asking.
Wait, what topic did we choose?
The topic is miscommunications and moving past them. So, as you all know, the path towards communicating clearly and from the heart may not always be straight and narrow. So, oftentimes, along the way, we can kind of stumble and fall. And these miscommunications or non-meet communications can happen. And when that happens, it's perfectly natural for us to tend to fall back into our old patterns of behavior and judgments and things like that. So that's kind of the main reason we decided to have this show. So it's kind of like, so when you really are trying to have a communication from the heart and it doesn't seem to come out that way, this show is going to share with you some ideas of, you know, what you can learn from that, you know, how you can move past that, and how maybe you can prevent that in the future.
Well, I think a big thing, too, is just being aware that it's happening. That way you can help it not happen next time.
Yeah, I definitely would encourage everyone to look at it not as I miscommunicated and something happened and it was bad and it was wrong, but more look at it as, okay, I see that something happened, the message sent wasn't the message received, and now I can take this and in the future not communicate that way or maybe say something more clearly and just, you know, use everything as a learning experience when it comes to miscommunications.
Instead of, I'm never going to talk to this person again.
Well, unless, I was going to say except in the case of you, but I guess I'm talking to you right now. And that wasn't really a good joke.
That didn't last very long.
So briefly, I guess we can kind of diagram. Melissa kind of stated it. A conversation usually is only really two major parts, and it's the person that's sending the message and the person that's receiving the message. So it's kind of like the message sent and the message received.
It sounds so simple, but yet there's 80 billion different things that can go wrong.
Yeah, and on really any level of it, any aspect of it, it maybe a person might not have a clear communication in their head to begin with, or they might not be able to say it the way that they really want to say it, or somebody might not receive it the way they wanted it to be received.
It could be nonverbal. It could just not even be something said. It could be completely how someone acts, with what they, how they look, how they, you know, just their body language.
Yeah, so somebody could receive a message that wasn't even said at all.
Exactly.
Right, right. And covert and overt intentions as well can come across in a conversation when somebody is trying to send a message too. That could come across as somebody being very persuasive and very direct, but it may put the other person that's receiving it on the defensive. Or they could maybe try to be more manipulative about it, and so it's more hidden, but the other person that's receiving the message may still get that vibe.
Well, and that can happen completely intentionally or unintentionally.
Right, right.
For example, if you're mom, you're talking to me and I'm kind of busy doing something, I'm not really looking, or let's say I'm typing an email and I'm kind of half listening to you, but I'm not even answering what's going on. And you might think that I don't consider what you're saying important. Yeah. But in any case, that wouldn't be the actual reality. I'm just trying to do two things at once, which isn't very effective when you're actually trying to have, you know, heart-centered communication.
Right. I think that's the key word. It's heart-centered. It really helps to be focused on what the actual message is that you want to convey and have yourself be in alignment of that. Like, your message, like what you're actually saying, is in alignment and agreement with how you are, like your tone, how your physical, however your hand motions are, or, you know, your facial expressions. I think having that all be on the same page is also very helpful in clearly communicating. And the best way to do that is to become really clear in yourself before you even begin the conversation.
Well, yeah. That's really staying in the moment too. So often people, and I'll speak from personal experience, I have brought, you know, my day into a conversation. Like, let's say I had a bad day at work and I would go to have the conversation. I would have the energy of that day going on within me and bring it into the conversation, although it has nothing to do with who I'm talking with, what I'm talking about. I just, you know, have that going on. Mm-hmm. But staying in the moment allows me to kind of just be present and only focus on what I want to say and who I want to talk with.
Yeah, that's a good point. And when you were talking, I was thinking of, it's not only like that the day that I had bringing it in my own communications, it's also about hearing it. Because, you know, if I maybe have a day where everyone seems to be, from my perspective, yelling at me, and then I go and I start having a conversation with somebody I haven't even seen all day, and they have even the littlest bit of energy that I feel, I might be really defensive about it and be like, oh man, like, all these people were yelling at me all day, and now you're yelling at me too, even though you didn't even say anything.
Hi, Melissa, how was your day? I can't believe anyone asked me that. Goodness.
And sometimes it doesn't even have to be a communication. I remember my nephew, Jackson, my sister came out to visit one time. This was when he was like 4 or 5 years old, and she was staying at my house, and I was out having my morning coffee on the patio, and my sister went to take a shower, and out comes Jackson, and he's coming into the patio and it looks really sad. And I'm like, what's the matter, honey? You know, what's happening? And he said, my mommy doesn't love me anymore. I know. And it was so, you know, I had tears almost in my eyes the way he said it. Cause my sister just adores him. So, I mean, it was, I couldn't understand where it was coming from. And I said, come on over here. And why do you think that? And he said to me, it's because she locked the door. My mommy locked the door. You know, and wow. And it was like such a simple thing that my sister did. And so I sat him down and I just let him know that it has nothing to do with you. At your house, your mommy doesn't lock the door, so you can say, hey, can I watch this on TV, or can I have this to eat? Or, you know, but when she's at my house, she locked the door, not because of you, but because she wanted the privacy, because she didn't want other people to come in and maybe not know that she was there. And so once he understood it, he felt better, but it was still there. And if he didn't have anybody to talk to, who knows how long he would have carried that my mom doesn't love me anymore and tried to prove that to himself. And it shows up in different ways, you know.
I was actually just thinking that is, I wonder how many times like irrational beliefs or miscommunications like that have carried on into even adult relationships. This whole thing is seated around this little moment when someone's little. If he didn't have you to talk to, he might have thought that all of a sudden he did something wrong.
Right.
Jody doesn't love him anymore, you know?
I feel like that happens way more often than we're even aware of.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
I might even be holding on to some conversations or things that I, rules that I made and put together when I was younger that were never really meaning.
Yes. And that's why I would recommend, like, if you do have a thought like, my mommy doesn't love me anymore, sometimes look at it and see, where did that come from, and see if you can ride that energy back. And it could be some irrational place that it got planted, and it's really not a true statement, you know. And I would challenge sometimes your mind and your thinking when you don't even remember a communication, or you misremember a communication, because there can be a lot of healing there.
Or just being aware that maybe a little seed planted early on could have grown into, you know, a big issue. It, you know, it could have really subconsciously or unconsciously just could have grown in your consciousness, and you could think that it's a much bigger issue, and it impedes in every single communication that you have with this person, even though there is no basis for it.
Yeah, I don't know what it comes forward for me as, like, the princess and the pea. You know, like, it might just be like this little thing down at the very bottom that's just so small and tiny, but it just, well, obviously she was a princess, so it seemed bigger to her, but...
Are you saying princesses have more miscommunications than normal people?
Maybe they do. I don't know. The other thing about that is, too, is his mom, you know, she didn't even know that he thought that he got to the door and it was locked, and he assumed that that meant that she didn't love him. And I feel like there's also an opportunity there where, when you're not even involved in that, I could see kind of taking an over responsibility of that, of being like, oh no, I didn't mean to do this at all. I just did something normal that I didn't even have any meaning towards. And this other person took it to mean this and this. And now they're going through their own upset. They're mad about this, or they're misbelieving this. And it's almost like, what do you do then? Because one of the immediate reactions is like, oh, this is my fault. This is something that I need to fix because I did the thing that was wrong, so-called wrong, when really it's just a miscommunication, and it's not anybody's fault.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to express your positive feelings towards other people, you know, especially children, because you never know what's going on. You're right. What if no one was there? Who knows? You know, just expressing positively, like, I love you, I love you, I love you, over and over, is very important.
Yeah.
I love you, Danielle.
I love you, too.
I love you, Mom.
Oh, shucks, thanks. Love you guys, too.
Oh, I love you, too, Mom.
And then you have a similar story as the one I had when I was at St. Kate's, and I would have to do my homework at the, they used to have, you know, now everybody has computers at home. They used to have like a big computer room where you would like go have to do your papers and things like that. And I remember being in that computer room, just concentrating and doing my work and doing my work. And after like, oh, probably about 45 minutes of doing that, the woman sitting next to me turned and looked to me and went, like that, because I was chewing gum. And I was so embarrassed and so ashamed. And if she would have just asked me, you know, 45 minutes earlier not to chew my gum, you know, I would have spit it out. I mean, I spit it out then, and I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. But
what are you supposed to do about it if you're not even aware of it?
Right. You know? If she spoke up right away, too, it's like it would have saved her frustration. Oh my gosh, it would have saved you embarrassment. Like, the whole situation just would have been that much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she probably would have been able to come at it more as, like, you know, I've noticed you're chomping your gum. Would you please stop it? Instead of, you know,
I don't chew gum anymore.
A less effective way of approaching it.
I wonder what the thoughts were, like, in her head, like, oh, she's so rude. She's chomping her gum. Oh, it's getting worse. Oh, she's looking at me and chomping at her gum. Oh, she's glaring at me.
She's doing it on purpose just to bother me.
Right. Well, as much as we like talking about chomping on gum, we're going to take a break right here. And when we come back, we're actually going to talk more about some of the miscommunications we've had and actually how to move past them.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself, so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? Heartcenteredlistening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Every one of us confronts challenges that rock our world to the core, making us confused and disoriented, not knowing which way is up. On The Mother Rising, host Margaret Jacobson will nourish that spark that enlivens. You will be both empowered and inspired to create the changes leading you on your path to your own true freedom. Discover your worth and what you are capable of. Tune into The Mother Rising every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart. I'm Melissa. I'm joined with Elizabeth, my very beautiful mother, and Danielle, my also very beautiful sister. And we were, before the break, just talking about miscommunications. And we're all really excited about this subject because, I mean, miscommunications happen all of the time and with everybody. It still happens between us three. I mean, as much as we practice listening with our heart and communicating from our heart, you know, it can still happen. So,
and to be clear, we're not excited about the actual miscommunication, but the show topic. Just
thank
needed
you.
To
thank
clarify
you.
That.
Yeah. Otherwise, that would have been a miscommunication
right.
that I didn't want the audience to, you know, take on. Okay. And so we were sharing some examples before the break, and we've got plenty more for you. And our intention with sharing these really is to just bring forward, you know, how miscommunications can happen, how easy it is for them to happen on any level. And we're going to talk about, you know, what did we learn from our experience in these miscommunications, and how did we move past them? How did we come back to communicate what our original intention was, and how we can better communicate in the future? So we're hoping that some of these examples might help you. Maybe you know somebody who really dislikes it when you chomp your gum. I know I do. So, and I'm kind of glad because I've figured out now. I know where I got it from. But that's, you know.
Bunch of gum chompers here.
Apparently. It's a good thing we're not chewing gum on the show.
Don't worry. I would smack at you very loudly and tell you to stop. Well, I'll stick with the theme. We were talking about our little cousin Jackson and how a lot of miscommunications can happen when you're younger. And I'll actually share one from our childhood. And that was, there was one time we had this couch. Well, one time we had a couch. We had a couch more than one time. But there was a couch, and on it, it had
brand
these
new
little.
Too.
It was brand new. It had these, you know, the old-fashioned couches that had kind of like the, what would you, like the placemat type things that went over the sides.
It was, it's like a sleeve protector.
Yeah, yeah. And so the couch had one on each of the armrests. And so one day Melissa was playing with scissors, which she should not have been.
She loved playing with scissors.
I loved
so,
loved
so bad.
She loved. There was something so satisfying about the snip sound, you know, like the and like the motion, and then seeing something that was whole in two is I still like it.
I'm gonna hide my scissors anytime you come over. But so she got a hold of, I would call them the grown-up scissors that we weren't supposed to touch. We had our little, you know, the little kiddo ones, but she got the big scissors.
The safety scissors.
Yep. Yeah. And so she took one of these little sleeve protectors and just cut it. And so my mom comes home, she came upstairs and she was like, "Who cut this couch sleeve?" And I didn't say anything because I didn't cut it. And Melissa didn't say anything because...
Well, actually, I think I said, "It wasn't me."
She was a little quicker than I was at the time. But so my mom sat there and she's like, "No, you need to tell me who did this. Tell me who did it right now." And both of us were just tight-lipped, weren't saying anything. I was afraid of getting in trouble. So my mom looks at us and she goes, "Okay, if you tell me who did it, you can go outside and play." So I obviously raised my hand and said, "I did it. Can I go outside now?"
Because that's what mom said, right? You know?
Miscommunication here. I did not hear the implied fact that I would get in trouble for actually admitting it. So I did not get to go outside. In fact, I got punished. Or maybe I got to go outside. And then I got punished later. Yes. So she did follow through. But
she
didn't
keep her word.
Yeah, she did keep her word. But I think the miscommunication here was maybe the actual saying the implied stuff. I don't know. What would the miscommunication there be?
Well, I mean, my miscommunication that I had in that was just flat out lying. I mean, that counts as a miscommunication,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
It's true. And flat out lying.
So yeah, that's right. Both lying. Because we both had our own little covert intentions there.
Yeah. And I knew one of you had done it because
it was the dog. You know, we should have blamed it on the dog.
So... he can't speak.
I never would have thought somebody would admit it if they didn't do it. That's a new learning for me there.
It was very logical. Like, somebody tell me someone did it. You can go outside and play. So I said, okay, I did it. There was no like, and you will get punished after you come inside from playing.
The greatest thing about this story, too, is this didn't even come out until about 5 years ago. So I got off scot-free for a good 20 years before. And by that time, that couch didn't even exist anymore, so.
That couch had been to college. It had lived its life. I don't think Mom would have complained about a cut.
So if we're taking about what would we have learned from that, what would we learn? How would it be different this time? Well, I guess one of the things for me is if I'm really holding to the intention of communicating from the heart, I would have openly admitted, yes, it was me. I have this thing where I really have a compulsive desire to cut things, and I just did it. And after I did it, it was done, and I'm sorry.
Again, I want to hide my scissors. No, I would say my learning there is to just be honest and tell it. I think there was this misunderstanding that I didn't want to tattle on my sister. But it's not being of service to myself. It's not telling the truth. It's not, you know, I wanted to go outside, but here I was being punished anyways by not being able to go outside because Melissa wasn't saying that she cut it. And I didn't want to tattle on her. So I think it was more of just being true to myself. No offense, but, you know, telling it like it is.
Well, was there anything there, too, of, like, nobody would believe you if you said that you didn't do it, or...
I wonder, because you were kind of I perceived you as, like, the goody-two-shoes one.
Yeah, I remember, though, I was kind of shocked, because I knew that Melissa does that, because she did it to her new teddy bear blanket. You know, there's a big cut on that. You know, I got her this gorgeous, and it was the same type of a cut, so it was, like, kind of shocking. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's like chomping the gum. You know, maybe it's one of those family things.
And another example that I want to bring forward, this was something that just happened really recently. And it's funny because it's one of those things that one would think is just so simple and wouldn't happen, but it did. And what happened was we had a friend at work who was having a birthday party, and I don't currently have a car. And it was on a Saturday night, and I got invited, and I knew that my sister was invited, and I just assumed, you know, if Danielle is going to go, she's the one that has the car, I would ride with her, so she would come to me and say, "Hey, Melissa, I am going to go to this party, and are you going to come with? Because I'm assuming if you're coming with, I would drive you. And I just completely assumed that she would invite me along if she was planning on driving. And because she didn't, I then also took that to mean that she was not going. And then on the Monday at work, you know, we're talking to each other and she's like, I had so much fun at so-and-so's birthday party. And I was like, what? Like, how come you didn't tell me that you were going? Like, how could you not tell me that you were going? And I was just coming from this place of like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't understand.
I didn't want you to go. No, it's assumptions are just the most interesting thing, I think. Not necessarily in a good way. And again, to avoid miscommunication, I don't like assumptions either. But it's on my end, I was assuming, okay, if Melissa wants to go, she'll reach out to me and say, hey, are you going? Can I hitch a ride? Just very simple, not about not wanting you to go. I just figured if you didn't have plans and you wanted to go, you would see if I was going. And so I didn't hear from you. So I was like, okay, she probably has other plans.
Yeah. It's funny too, because even without the energy on it, it was just something so simple. Like I was like, oh, well, she'll probably let me know. And then you were also like, oh, well, she'll probably let me know. And neither one of us, I mean, what would it have taken for that miscommunication or non-communication to not happen? It would have taken me saying one sentence to you.
Right.
And that's it. And not even like a sentence that meant anything, but just kind of like a, hey, what are your thoughts on this? You know, like, were you planning on going? And that's it. And then I would have gone, and I probably would have been the life of the party.
Not if you brought your scissors. Yeah.
That's true. We're going to have a disclaimer on those. Yeah, it's kind of funny because it is, you know, how much energy would it take to just ask? And it brings forward, it's just the assuming about other people without actually clarifying what the plans are.
Yeah, and almost believing that the assuming is easier. You know, like, oh, well, she'll talk to me if it's important, you know, but that doesn't always happen.
Obviously. That's a good one. That did happen. And, you know, we have that quite a bit, Melissa, you and I. And I don't think it's intentional, but we also have the, and this is in the past, we're getting a lot better at this, but where I'll be like, hey, do you want to come over and go swimming on Saturday? You know, Riley and I are going to go swimming. And you'll be like, oh, that sounds like fun. In my head, I'm thinking, great, she's coming over on Saturday, probably in the afternoon. And in her head, she's thinking, oh, that does sound like fun. I'll see where I'm at on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see if that still sounds like fun on Saturday.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Which makes absolute sense. But in my head, it's like, okay, this is a done deal. She signed, you know, her signature's on the line.
Yep, that's actually what I require in order. I would just assume that it's not actually happening until I do sign on that dotted line.
Can you sign your weekend plans and fax that over to me, please? Good thing I didn't ask you to go to the movies.
So these are a lot of miscommunications. What have you learned from them, and how are you guys going to handle it in the future?
Well, again, assumptions. You know, just it takes 2 seconds to check it out.
It really does. It can take very little effort to work on communicating.
Yes.
Did you have anything that you learned from our stories?
Yes. That, you know, I have to get Melissa's signature if I can count on her.
That's true.
And that Danielle likes to go swimming.
Yes, that's the moral of this story.
Well, I didn't want to get into anything because it's time for another break. But before we go, I'd like to invite our listeners to join us in on our conversation, either by calling in or sending us an email at info@heartcenter.com. This is Elizabeth, Danielle, and Mel, and we'll be back shortly to continue talking about these miscommunications and then to move into our segment called One Question, Three Responses.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
do you achieve balance in your life? Is it when everything runs in perfect alignment with each other? Time, money, and life? You can keep everything in nearly perfect balance. Listen for Be Mighty with K.D. Marley, which is made up of two people, K. Mar and D. Lee. The hosts have worked with small business owners to find the best and most systematic way of tracking both time and money in order to achieve work-life balance to their advantage. The show can help you, too. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? Heartcenteredlistening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship. I'm your co-host, Danielle, along with my lovely mother, Elizabeth, and my lovely sister, Melissa.
Thought I'd get you back for calling me beautiful.
Before we begin our segment called One Question, Three Responses, is there anything you want to add,
any story? Well, I had a story I did want to talk about, and that was sometimes verbal cues, too, can you know, you can have a non-communication, but verbally look a certain way or do a certain thing, and people can take assumptions from that, too.
You mean nonverbal?
Nonverbal. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I remember this happened when Danielle was very little. She was probably about 4 or 5, and I had just had my parents up to visit, so they were, you know, we always had a lot of company. So, and they were staying at our house and visiting, and they were staying at my sister's house too. And I think they went over to my sister's house, but they were going to get on the plane and go home the next day or something like that. And a day or two later, I was watching television, and that was when we were watching the space shuttle, and the space shuttle had blown up. And I just remember it shocked me, and I wasn't expecting it. And I started to cry. And, you know, so that was the cues. You know, I just naturally started to cry. And then after I was listening to the radio for a little bit or the TV and was watching it, I went to look for Danielle and I couldn't find her. And she was nowhere to be found. And I'm like, Danielle. And I was calling her and everything. And then I could hear her. And I could hear her crying. And I couldn't figure out where she was at. But she had ran down into the basement and went under this, like, shelf that we had and pushed herself in, like, a black corner and was just bawling. And, you know, I got her. I said, come on out, you know, and talk to me. You know, what's going on? And she was crying so hard and she couldn't hardly talk. But she said, was that Grandma and Grandpa's plane? She thought that my parents were on that plane. And so it was like...
And that's why you started crying?
Yeah, and that was why I started crying. So it was kind of a miscommunication in a way, because strong emotions, too, can carry with them strong responses, and you don't even know why. So,
well, and when the person receiving the message doesn't have all the information... They can jump to conclusions and fill in the places, you know, that aren't, that they don't have the information for. You know, for example, seeing a plane on TV or seeing something going through the air and blowing up and then seeing my mom cry. I'm filling it in based on what I know.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a key ingredient to all miscommunications is really just only looking at your perspective and where you're coming from, because with your own perspective, that's all you're going to get. If you don't check with other people, if you don't allow the possibility for someone else to actually mean something else or look at the bigger picture, like if you're just caught in your own idea of what the conversation means, that's when miscommunications can happen so much more.
Absolutely. And it you know, nonverbal is so important too. You know, I'm really happy that you brought that up, because with, you know, the saying actions speak louder than words is around for a reason, because they really do. If you're telling somebody, you know, I feel this way, I feel this way, I feel this way, but acting a completely different way, there is going to be confusion. You know, if I'm saying, you know, what was the story you were saying the other day about your client and not wanting to be contacted at a certain time?
Yeah, she didn't want to be contacted in the mornings because that's when she wrote. But then her behavior wasn't consistent with that, because when she didn't feel like writing, she would call her mother.
Right, right. And so then it would be understandable that her mother thought that time was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the nonverbal communication or the way that she was acting was completely different than what she was saying.
Mm-hmm. And like with the tears from that story, it's like Danielle just saw the tears and created a whole story about that. Because even though your words were, I mean, you said the words afterwards, but your words were comforting and everything. It's like that gives one impression, but then also the tears, of course, give a different perspective. Impression.
Mm-hmm.
So I also had another story, and this is kind of another way that miscommunications can happen. And it was something, it was one of a learning that I had, and it kind of does involve three people. It's how sometimes, I guess I'll just tell the story and then we'll talk about it. But I had this project going on at work, and I was kind of going back and forth between two different departments, one department and then my department, and I was going back to my supervisor, and I was talking with this woman from the other department, and she was very adamant about a deadline. She was very like, you need to tell your supervisor that we need to have this by this time. And, you know, if we don't have it by this time, then this and this and this. And like she had all of this energy on it. And so I took that energy too. And, you know, I took her message and her energy and I went back to my boss and I was like, you know, we really need to have this by this time and la la la. And even though before having the original conversation with the other woman, I didn't have any even idea of what time we needed it or like that there was pressure or anything, because that she was so much in it herself, I took it on and I just took that to my boss. And even though it was not mine, it was all this other person's. And my boss just looked at me and was like, you don't tell me what, you know, like when there's a deadline. And I just got ripped a new one. And I like started bawling and it just led to so much upset. And I was just so mad at myself and everything. And it really was an opportunity for me to realize that that's when I'm not communicating from my heart, is when I allow myself to take on somebody else's energy or somebody else's message without kind of filtering it or deciding, you know, like if I agree with that before I come at it. And also, you know, coming at it from a neutral place, because I could have easily taken the message that was given to me and relayed it to my boss without the energy. So either way, but it just having the energy and taking on something that wasn't mine, it was like that's what really upset me in the end. That's where I really was mad at myself about.
Yeah. It sounded like you actually ended up getting feedback based on someone else's message.
not your own.
But in a way, it was her own, because if she would have went back and she would have said, this department needs this, would like this by this date, that's a whole different communication.
So much.
Absolutely.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was definitely my learning is... And a learning for any communication, it's not your responsibility to take on anybody else's message and relay it if it doesn't fit with what you want to share.
Right. And you can share the information without sharing the energy.
Yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. So, great. Anything else you guys want to add to that before we move on?
I think it's really being clear in yourself. Just know what's yours, what's not yours. Check in before you actually say anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Really be clear in where you want to and what message you want to share.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Well, that was fun. I thought it was fun. And well, let's move on to the one question, three responses. So, all right, here goes. This week's question is from Debbie, who's 19 years old and lives in Vancouver. And here's her question. I'd like to tell my mom what irritates me about her without hurting her feelings. How would you go about that?
First of all, I don't know if that's possible. I mean, I don't know if... I mean, I'm just being honest. You know, it's saying something like, I really don't like this about you, having the other... saying it, the other person's not most likely not going to be like, oh, well, that's really swell, and that makes me feel really good about myself. And that being said, I think it's important to know that if you really are coming from a loving place and the person gets upset with what you're going to share, that's really their upset, and that's not yours. As long as you are really coming from a place of loving.
And what I would also offer is that there might be something. What is irritating you? Why is it irritating you? There might be a piece of really good information to look at that. For example, like I remember I never like watching television that much, you know, at night. You know, my mother watched it a lot. And my husband, when he comes home and he'll watch television or something like that, I will. In the past, I would get a little upset, and then I had to go in and figure out what irritated me so much about it. And I think what it was that my mother watched it a lot, and she didn't get a lot of exercise, and she's no longer with us. And so I think I was bringing that piece that made it extra irritating. You know, it was almost like a projection going on there, that it really wasn't just about the television, because my husband exercises, does cycling like 20, 25 miles a day. So he's in great shape and he works all day and he wants to relax and watch sports, you know. So it's not once I came into the awareness that it was my irritation, that I had to own a piece of it, the energy was gone. So, I mean, if I were you, Debbie, I would just take a little look and see what it is that irritates you and why you think it irritates you.
Well, and I definitely agree with you. And at the same time, it could be something, you know, if something isn't in alignment with where you're at, it's okay to share, you know, what your ideal scene would be. You know, like, own the upset, yes. Figure out why it's upsetting you. Work with that. And also, if there's something that would really be beneficial for you to, like, change about a circumstance, like, we don't know what Debbie's mom, how she approaches her, what she says, but in a loving place to say, you know, I have a challenge when you speak to me like this. Is there anything that we can do about it? How could it look? How could you tell me what you want to tell me and I bring what I want to say, and how can we make this a more peaceful conversation?
Mm-hmm.
You're just looking at me and nodding. Yeah. I agree with me too. Thanks.
I'm actually thinking about how I can bring this forward, not agreeing with you in a good way. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Actually, I do have a good point, but first we're going to get to break. And, you know, so far so good. I love this. This is my favorite segment. This is the one question, three responses, and I don't think we're done yet.
No, we're not done. We'll come back from break and we'll talk a little bit more about our responses. Danielle can give her response. And we'll be right back after this break.
Live up to your fullest potential. This is the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
At Heart-Centered Listening, we are committed to providing high-quality coaching, empowering you to reach a healthier and more fulfilling mother-daughter relationship. We have a consistent flow of coaching clients who sincerely want to heal and move toward a healthy, loving, and fulfilling mother and daughter relationship. We welcome you to share in the joys, sorrows, and experiences of one family's growth and learning. We support others in growing into love and support of oneself so that you can show up in the loving way that you would like in your relationships with others. Get answers to the questions you've always wanted to ask. We promise to show up each day in our authenticity and always be honest in our responses. You can call Heart-Centered Listening at 310-301-1850 Monday through Friday between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. Pacific Time, or visit our website at heartcenteredlistening.com. Mother-daughter relationship coaching with Elizabeth Lutz. Isn't it time to open the door to your new relationship? Heartcenteredlistening.com. Support. Healing. Transformation.
Change your world. Change your life. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
You are listening to Communicating from the Heart. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments you might have. Please send us an email to info@heartcenteredlistening.com. That's info@heartcenteredlistening.com. Now back to Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship.
Welcome back. I'm Elizabeth, and I'm here with Danielle and Melissa. And this is Communicating from the Heart, the empowered mother-daughter relationship. We were just doing our favorite segment, One Question, Three Responses, and we didn't quite complete it. So Danielle, I don't even think got an opportunity to speak on it. So what would you like to say, Danielle?
A lot, but we don't have that much time. But I think actually it was kind of going off of what Melissa was saying and how, you know, it might not be possible. People might get triggered when you have something to say, when you have feedback about them. I mean, you don't have to go and, you know, chomp in their face and say, stop chewing your gum. But I think there is a tactful way to do it, kind of, and maybe more than tactful, but respectful. Like, one thing that I've learned in interpersonal communications that I've taken is always starting a sentence with I. Like, I feel very hurt when you don't listen to me completely when I'm telling you about my day. You know, just being very open and honest, saying, this is how it makes me feel, these are the implications, because it really does kind of remove that defensiveness that someone might have. Because it's hard to be defensive when someone's coming at you saying, I feel hurt, or I feel sad, or I feel, you know,
irritated.
X, Y, and Z, or, well... Irritated is a triggering word. Yeah. I mean, at least in my experience, if someone says, I feel irritated when you, I find that very triggering. That's now, if someone came up to me and said, you know, I feel hurt when you, again, don't listen to me, or when we make plans and you can't make them, or whatever it might be, that's really understandable. Because most of the time people have, you know, most of the time everyone has had that feeling once in their life.
I know I've had it quite a few times growing up.
Which feeling? The irritated?
No, not that one.
But I agree. Irritated is kind of a triggering word. So that was part of the point I was getting at. You know, you might want to look at that word and see what's really actually going on, because it might be that you're not irritated as much as you are, feeling not heard or disrespected. I mean, there might be something deeper than the word irritated. So, I mean, that's where I would begin to just kind of look at that. And then if you're clear on that, come to your mother when you're in a neutral space and when you're not feeling energy on it. So, and you can be open and direct and clear and nurturing too. Nurture yourself and nurture your mother, because it's a relationship, you know, that you want to nurture and you want to take care of it.
And I would take it a step further and say, you know, a majority of the time when someone feels, not even a majority, I would say 100% of the time, anytime someone is feeling upset or irritated or whatever, it stems from hurt, mm-hmm. You know? So it really is, if we're talking about communicating from the heart, it's really going inside and finding out what it is you're actually feeling, because you are communicating from the heart is actually, there's that piece of expressing what's really going on in your own heart. You know, so you can bring things up in a kinder, gentler way, as, you know, like, I feel hurt or I feel whatever. But it is also, you're benefiting from being honest with yourself.
And on that as well, I think when you can come at it from a clear place, from a neutral space, and come from it and from your heart, I think another way to do it is one of the ways that I tend to approach these things too is kind of, if there's something that I want to change, to bring it forward as like, how do you think it would look if we could do it this way? Or what do you think would happen if we could try to do it this way moving forward? You know, like, kind of bring it forward as a suggestion or an experiment, not necessarily like, I think that this needs to change, and instead of looking like this, it needs to look like this. Instead being like, I don't really feel like it's working the way that it is right now. Do you think maybe it could work if we tried to do it in another way or differently?
Well, I know we had that conversation. You know, earlier we brought forward the miscommunication about Melissa and I making plans and her saying, that sounds great. I took that to mean like, hey, she's in, you know? And so we really did have that honest communication, and it did come out where I was like, Melissa, I thought that you were going to be here on this day. And she said, no, I never agreed. And so what we did is had a conversation, and I said, you know, when you say that sounds like fun, I hear that you're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so she did express to me that that was not the same for her. And so we now know that, hey, once we, if we make plans and we agree on a time, it's like, okay, Saturday at this. And we really make clear that it's the next action. We don't necessarily have to make times for the actual plans, but maybe making a time where we, you know, I will call you at 11 o'clock and we'll go from there. But it's really defining that, you know, clearing up that miscommunication and defining the next actions.
And I think there's a lot of miscommunications with that. When you have these expectations, you expect somebody to do something. It's almost like an assumption. You mm-hmm. know, you're expecting someone to do something instead of having a clear communication and an agreement, like what you're talking about. If you have an agreement, then it's like both people are on the same page, you know, versus an expectation. You both had different expectations.
Yeah. And it's funny how that might not even necessarily take that much more effort. Mm-hmm. You know, it might just take one sentence. Like, I know that you said Saturday, but so are you going to come over here, or are you going to call me? Or, you know, I just wanted to clarify what it was that we agreed upon, you know, and it's just one simple extra kind of check-in or step, and it can help. I don't want to say prevent a miscommunication, but it can just make everything a little bit more clear.
Absolutely. And I also think there's that kind of checking in with yourself. If it's not clear in yourself, like if I'm talking with you and it's not clear to me if we do have plans or we don't, instead of moving to the assumption, I know that it's not clear, so I'm going to ask.
Yeah, and maybe I could also do that too. You know, like if I know that I'm not clear, I could share that with you. I could say, you know, that sounds good. I'm not 100% clear or sure that that would happen. Let's check in again at a later date.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we've had years and years of experience. So we've really nipped this one in the butt, so to speak.
Yeah, we've definitely had plenty of opportunity to do that.
Yeah. Well, so that's great to kind of wrap that up now. And let's move into maybe wrapping up the whole topic, you know, the miscommunication and moving past them, you know. So before we go, let's kind of just recap a little bit and remember to maybe focus on the message sent and the things that you can do to send a clear, concise message, and also get neutral and to know, you know, where you're coming from and what you want to communicate, and know if you also have some hidden agendas, you know, and to work on those. And then also, if you're being on the other end, the person that's receiving the message, you know, what you want to do is to be open and not defensive and not ready to tell the other person what you're thinking, you know, and you know, completing your argument back or whatever it is before you even heard what's coming your way. So in law, we always had it, it was called the meeting of the minds. So the intention of a communication is to have a meeting of the minds where you're both on the same page.
Well, and I think, you know, it's, if you're not clear in yourself, then you're not going to be on the same page. If I go into a conversation and I'm not sure, okay, what is my intention for this conversation? What am I looking for? Am I looking for a next action? Am I looking for an agreement? Am I looking for just an answer to a question? But if I'm not clear in that, then what if I don't ask the right question? What if I'm not being clear in how I'm communicating? So that does even open up to more miscommunication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I also feel another point that I just want to reiterate is, you know, accepting it when a miscommunication does happen, because they will happen, and, you know, getting upset about the fact that there was a miscommunication isn't going to change the fact that there was a miscommunication. It's like, at that point, really what might be of most service is just to explore what happened, maybe have a follow-up conversation, and then go from there instead of like being in the upset of, oh, the message that I sent wasn't the one that you received, and putting blame out there. It's like, just move on. And now that you've figured out what happened, you know, how can we move forward in a more loving way with each other?
Well, and if you're putting out the blame, that's not going to help you move forward from that.
Right. It never does.
No. I've tried.
And another key piece, I think, if you're the one that's receiving the message, ask questions. I mean, it's really okay to say, you know, I don't think I really understand what you're saying. Could you clarify a little bit more? Or what did you mean by this? You know, just to keep asking clarifying questions. Because oftentimes I think people are like, yeah, I got it. You know, and it's more like they want to think that they've got it because they don't want to ask questions where they might feel like they're kind of, oh, I should know that, or I should do this, or just take the judgment out of it. You know, be neutral, come at it with a newness of mind, and ask questions if you need to perception check and make sure you're on the same page.
Well, and you know, you're not going to learn from it until you make the mistakes. You're not going to learn from miscommunication. You're not going to learn how to actually communicate unless there is a miscommunication.
Yep. So, great. So, it looks like that's all the time that we have. We've been having so much fun with our next episode of Communicating from the Heart, the Empowered Mother-Daughter Relationship.
I was going to say, or miscommunicating from the heart.
Yeah,
right.
That one is.
I don't know.
Deflect.
No, I'm sorry.
So next week, we're going to tackle gratitude. What a wonderful attitude. I did not agree with that title, just to let you guys know.
Well, maybe we'll change it.
Yes.
Perfect for Thanksgiving.
It is great. And speaking of gratitude, a sneak peek, we are so grateful for you guys. We're so appreciative just to be here and have this experience with you. We'll see you next Tuesday at 5:00 sharp, and have a great week.
Thank you for joining us this week on Communicating from the Heart. Please tune in for another edition with mother-daughter hosts Elizabeth Lutz, Danielle Schoniker, and Melissa Schoniker next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We can't wait to share more with you next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.